everyone. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're back from our brief respite, I guess, while our good friend there, Mike Oahi, was doing his show, you know.
That Mike Oahi.
Well, Mike was doing his show there from the Sea Beast in Kihei.
There's a
what do you think about it, Mr. Henry? I thought it was okay. I mean, I don't know what exactly he was trying to prove. The whole thing just turned into a real... We got a lot of complaints. You know, we got a lot of complaints.
Well, I would imagine you would get a lot. Do you know... And when that one fool... I don't know, that guy's name was Big Bad Boob. Or not Big Bad Boob. What's the guy's name?
You're talking about Brother Bill.
Brother... Yeah, was that the guy's name? Brother... Yeah. Brother Bill.
Yeah, he was a sidekick.
Yeah, that Brother Bill. And he wants to use December 7th, 1940-01... Well, not 1940-01.
No, but 1941.
1941.
Yes, he wants that to be the Independence Day. Oh man. You know, there are days when I think of grabbing a guy.
Yeah, grabbing a guy where?
Did you dirty...
Come on. Break it up.
Grabbing a guy where? I'll tell you what, Dickman, if I ever do grab you there, it ain't gonna feel too good.
I'm not trying to do anything.
All right, wait a minute, will you? Now, let's forget about doing a whole song and a dance about whether or not yesterday's show by our good, close, personal friend there, what's his name, Mike Oahi, was any good or not.
By the way, how do you pronounce that guy's name?
Say what?
How do you pronounce that guy's name?
Yeah, how do you pronounce blood people's calling in going, his name's Oahi or something like that?
His name is Mike Oahi, and Phil, you just called him Johnny.
Did I really?
Yeah, I think you did. You might not have, and then again, you might have.
Okay, well, his name is Mike, and a lot of people do pronounce it like it's Oahi, but it's Ohoi.
No, it's Oiha, right?
Let's not start fucking around, you know.
Excuse me, Phil, I'm not effing around.
Well, the guy's name is what it is. I don't want to have to do a...
What is it?
Never mind what it is. It is what it is, whatever that is.
All right, well, I say it's Michael Who. How about that?
Yeah, I'm going to say Michael Who.
Okay, it's Michael Woohoo. Everybody okay with that?
No, I am not all right with that. I believe, Phil, you're the one that believes in correct pronunciation.
All right. But I'm going to go along with the general because I don't want to have to do this all day.
Phil.
I'm just not going to do it all day. His name is Mike Oohooey or whatever the hell.
No, I said it's Mike Woo-wee-wee. Not a wee-wee.
Now you're messing around. Now you're starting to piss off Mr. Henry and you're also starting to piss me off.
Oh, I am I? Well, here, let me say I'm sorry.
Let go of his nose, will you? Now, today we have Bobby Dooley, and...
Oh, goody.
Well, you knew she was coming on. Bobby is going to be joining us to talk about Nancy Grace, and apparently a series of reports that Nancy Grace did having to do with marijuana. It wasn't a series of reports, Robert. You saw it, right?
Yeah, but basically what she's saying, marijuana, because of the legalization of marijuana, she talked about people going ape, you know, tearing a kid's head off, making kids starve, all that stuff.
You say it. Say that again.
Nancy Grace is saying that the legalization of marijuana, or if they do legalize marijuana, it will spur a great many very violent and bizarre acts against children. In other words, it causes crime.
Yeah. Yeah. So Bobby Dooley disagrees with that, but she has something even what she says is even more significant or more important or more frightening or however the hell it is that she wants to say it, and she's going to say it here on the program today. Steve Dooley will also join us for a series of comments relative to a kid's game called Ding Dong Ditch. You guys know what this game is, right?
Now, what is that?
You know when a guy ring a doorbell and then they run away?
Oh, now, you know something, boy? If I ever catch the kids did that just about a week ago.
At your house?
No, Phil, at the next door neighbor. Yes, at my house.
Well, General, we're just trying... How long ago was this?
I said last week, for crying out loud.
Now, last week, kids are playing Ding Dong Ditch.
Yes. Yes, 1,000 times yes. And the kid, and I hear the ding dong, and I go, well, you know, because I was expecting a delivery of a mission pack. You know, I love to get those fruit baskets. A lot of people order them during the Christmas season. I enjoy them year-round because I love to get the candied apples and so on and the yams and so forth. What are you looking at?
General, I hate to that. Mission pack is strictly a Christmas.
I understand that, but I enjoy it. I enjoy the candied fruits.
Yeah, okay. Well.
Well, wait a minute. This isn't.
Go ahead, gentlemen. Let's talk about it.
No, wait. This isn't judging my taste in things, is it? Because if we were going to do that, I say this with all of the greatest respect and love. But all of you, you, all of you out there, your taste is right up your...
Jesus.
All right, so you ordered a mission pack. Ding dong.
Yes, ding dong. That's the doorbell.
Yes, we gathered as much.
All right, what's this we? You got a rocket in your pocket?
General...
All right, come on.
The we is... So...
The we represents all of us here. We're waiting.
All right, so I hear ding dong. I go to the door. I open. There's no one there. And I said, well, geez, that's a hell of a GD thing. And Patsy says, well, sit down and finish your Lipton soup. I said, all right, because I was watching some damn thing on TV. It's about sharks or some kind of an animal deal, you know?
Yeah.
But was like a shark week?
I don't know, Dickman. Don't force me to think about it or I'm going to go orangutan.
All right, so you went back to your Lipton soup.
I went back to my Lipton soup.
You said go orangutan? What difference?
Hey, will you knock it off, okay?
It's not about orangutan.
It doesn't matter.
Hey, Dickman, what difference does it make if I say I'll go monkey or orangutan?
Very significant in terms of what the animal can do.
Yeah.
So this is where we are now. We're making dickstinction.
Shit. You said dickstinction.
All right, I'm going to kick your...
Phil.
Come on. Beat your ass.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out things.
You know, I bet you love it if I say dickstinction. That's got the kind of a deal you want to file that away for future reference. Never mind.
Okay. Well?
Nothing.
Well, Jenny, you don't say it.
Oh, what? Go ahead, General Shaw.
So anyway, I get back to the Lipton soup. I'm watching some goddamn show about...
Please the language.
No. Don't please anything. I'm watching some goddamn show.
All right. Well, you just knocked the microphone.
Sorry.
Here, let me adjust it.
Don't adjust. Get your hands off. I'll do it. I'm watching some show about monkeys or some goddamn thing like that. Ding dong. There it is again. So I go to the door. No one's there. All right. So now I'm starting to get pissed off. And I said to Patsy, I said, what the hell is this? Is this one of the grandkids? She said, why don't you sit down and eat your Lipton soup and quit acting like about 100 yards of weird man. I said, well, all right. So I sit down. Ding dong. There it is again.
You get up and...
Excuse me. Let me tell the story, all right? I get up. I go to the door. I open it up.
There's no one there.
There's no one... All right, never
mind.
Come on. There's no one there, but that's when I decide I've had about enough of this folderol, so I take off and I sprint around the corner, and I take off at a good sprint, and there I see it. Some red-headed kid. Boy, if there isn't anything in any of this world that pisses me off more, it's seeing some redhead, just the redhead, sprinting down the street. So I decide I'll cut the kid off because I know pretty much where he's going to go. He's going across Seward's vacant lot, and he's going to cut around the old deserted dairy. So I get into the truck, and I go down Mandolin, which we call the Mandolin Wind or Mandolin Way, and I go around the corner, and there's this strawberry-headed kid cuts right across the lot just as my truck shows up. I gun it just a little bit, intercept him. The kid, as he's coming across the street, hits flush on the grill. I just see red hair and the redhead go up about a foot, and then disappear down beneath the grill. I hit the brakes. I get out of the truck. I go around the front to look at it, hoping that that's really what I see, not so much a kid or a man, just an it, just a puddle of, you know...
Oh, for God's sake!
Well, that's what I hope. And what do you think I see?
Was the kid dead?
Yeah.
No, there was no one there. See? So,
wait, hold on.
I'm not going to explain it. There was no one. The kid, in the time it took me to get out of the truck and go around, the kid gathered himself and then took off in an opposite direction, just sort of the blind way, you know, the way I wasn't seeing it. Hey, wait, don't look at me like I've lost my mind, okay?
Well, General, I mean, I'm sure you're going to try to get me to believe that.
What the hell is there not to believe?
Well, wait. I mean, you're telling me that you... got in your car, you intercepted the... Do you recognize the kid?
Yes, I recognize the kid. That little... They call him Blowy Sutton. Not Joey, but little Blowy Sutton. Because he blows through the neighborhood like a quick... Like almost like a zephyr.
What do you mean a zephyr? Like a wind?
Yes, a wind. So they say, there goes little Blowy. And that was the thing. When I said that... And he said, well, that's what he did. He just blew off the street. This kid blows out of there like a leaf or something.
What about his parents? What about the adults in his life? Didn't they see that he was injured?
Apparently not. Whatever happened to him, he kept to himself. And all I can tell you is I hope there's some red-headed kid, if that's what you want to call him, limping today. I hope there's something out there in my neighborhood with red hair on it, walking along with a very pronounced limp. I'm General Jalen. I'm General.
Shit. General Galen Staw.
Yeah.
Yay.
Why aren't you applauding?
Because I think the whole story is as kooky as the thing I've ever heard, man. That's why.
You calling me a liar?
We aren't calling you a liar, General, but it is a very extreme story.
I don't give a damn. That's what I saw, and don't tell me I'm seeing things either.
You tell me that little Blowy Wilson.
That's right.
Caught in front of your truck. You hit him. All he saw is red head go down.
I said red head down, red head down. I said it's that punk kid Blowy Wilson. My wife was on the phone. I got out of the truck. I come around the corner. Gone.
Well, okay.
Don't give me that well. You know, Phil, you got this whole act where you well, like you're dealing with a mental case.
Hey, you. If what you say is true, it's true. Fine.
Yeah, well, you're going, beep, beep, beep. That's exactly right.
And this was the ding-dong ditch that got pulled on you the other night.
Yes, that was exactly what that was. It was the ding-dong, and I go, there's no one there. Then ding-dong, another time, nobody there. Then ding-dong, and I go another time, and I go, well, I'll be a son of a... I said, you know what? No one pulls that stuff with me and gets away and walks away from it. That's when I looked down the street. I saw the red hair, and then I saw, like, a white sweatshirt and what looked to be, like, pink pants or something. I don't know. The whole look of it pissed me off.
And you got in your truck. You anticipated you knew where this kid was going.
Yes, I did. I knew he was cutting through the lot and going down by Miller's Brewery and then around near the old dairy. And I went, and sure enough, God, that I'm good. I knew I was good. I didn't know I was that good. But as soon as he came out of the lot, I hit him flush. I saw him look. I saw the eyes widen as he looked at me because all you could see above the grill was his eyes. The nose and the mouth were hidden. And then the whole thing collapsed. I stop, I get around there.
And the kid's gone.
You know what, forget it.
Well, it's a wild story. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm not saying any of that. It's a wild story. After that story, though, I don't know that having Steve Dooley on, you know.
Well, we're having Bobby on. I don't know how much of the Dooleys you're going to be able to stand, but...
Yeah, well. All right, we're going to have Bob Bakey in here in a moment with our traffic here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We do have Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley, who will be jumping on here in a few seconds to talk with us about. Bobby's going to be talking to us about a friend of hers who has been affected not by the reports of marijuana or the use of marijuana. This guy has apparently been affected by seeing Nancy Grace on television. It's about the extent of it. Let's go on over now to Bob Bakey in traffic. Bob?
Hey, Phil, I'm a drop back job. We've got down here on 12th, and everybody's coming out of the house. If you're coming out of your house this morning, you're going to drive your car, make sure you got the job checked, and you wear your suspenders, put on your underwear, and you get on down there. Because you go down the Harbor Freeway, there's going to be a flat tap and the flat top. Be aware of it. Get that flat top on because I got power. And I've got power, and I've got power beyond power and ability of mortal man. Look up that sky, bird plane, it's Superman. I'm Bob Bacon, Travis.
I'll throw myself into blue. And out of the
all right, yeah.
Oh, this is the Foo Fighters, isn't it? The Foo Fighters.
It is, the Foo Fighters. And this is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Now, Margaret, what did you find?
I found something. I want everyone to hear this. Now, this was first sent to me by Chick... Lavender. Chick is
He's an accompanist.
No, that's not how you say it.
He accompanies you on the piano.
Yes. Chick is on the phone, I think, if we get Chick on the phone, bud.
Call him up right now. It's a line busy.
Oh, it's a line busy, is it?
You mean the line's busy? Yeah, that's what I mean.
Well, Chick is going to come on the phone here and talk a little bit with us about this, very interesting recording. I'd like you to guess, Phil, who it is when you first hear this. You may find this to be a very interesting excursion, if you will. And let's see if we got Chick.
Yeah, Chick. Mark Gray.
Chick, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. Listen, where did you find this recording?
Well, that's an interesting question. I was on YouTube mostly, and I was watching... some Dodger replays. And I saw Don Drysdale, who I recognize from the old days. I'm not really a big Dodger fan from way back, but I saw it, and I was pretty impressed. I have to tell you, I just listened to the song, and I thought it had the possibility.
And this is Don Drysdale, who's the Don Drysdale, who's the pitcher of the Dodger.
Well, he pitched for the Dodgers, yeah. And I thought it was interesting.
Don Drysdale is, and what label is this?
This is Reprise Records.
Well, let's listen to this, because I did hear it earlier, and I thought it was quite remarkable. This is Don Drysdale here singing a song called Give Her Love. This is not Don Drysdale, bud. You know what I'm going to do? Jackass.
Give her sunshine.
Is this the Foo Fighters?
This is Don Drysdale, isn't it?
In your smile.
Yeah, this is Don Drysdale. This is the song that...
All right, just check. Be quiet for a minute. Oh, all the while. I like how it builds.
You know what? I wanted to sing it.
I'm sorry. Stop the music for a minute. Stop that garbage for just. Oh, for God's sake! Stop that filth.
Bud, what is it with you, man? Quit playing Foo Fighters over top of it.
Sorry.
Now, what did you say, Chick?
I said I brought it on because I wanted to sing it. I think I can. I can approximate that sound.
Oh, you wanted to sing it?
Yes, if you don't mind. Because I, you know, it's something that I always wanted to try out. It's a silent thing that I think I can do.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Chick Lavender. Is that essentially, all right, Chick Lavender and Give Her Love as done by Drysdale.
Yeah, that's right. Here we go.
Give her sunshine, make it smile. Give her laughter.
All right, hold on for a minute.
Wait, get him back on, would you please? Chick, honey, you're overmodulating.
I am, Sam. I'm having the phone. I'm doing the very best I can.
All right, Chick, I'm sorry, but we just needed to stop that for a minute. Let's start this all over again. Here is Chick Lavender and singing along with Don Drysdale on Give Her Love here on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, bud.
All right. It's a style of singing kind of like.
I understand.
Give her sunshine. In your smile, give her pleasure all the while.
Jesus.
Turn her thoughts on walls of bread.
Hey, Chick.
What happened?
What happened, man, is that you are using a telephone that is not very well regulated in terms of the limiting. You were screaming. It was coming through very distorted.
Well, I found the song, and I wanted to play it. I didn't know that...
Like, Chick, all we're asking you to do is back off of the telephone.
All right. If you give me one more shot at it, I'd appreciate it. I just... The song that I wanted to...
All right. Go ahead.
Do I have to do it again?
Yes.
Yeah, play it. Well, give me one more time, bud. We can...
Chick Lavender, ladies and gentlemen.
Can you start it all over again, please? Can you start it all over again, please? Thank you very much.
That's good?
Yes, that's good. Fuck! Hold on, I'm sorry.
What was that?
I'm sorry, I sneezed. Sunshine. I sneezed, I'm sorry. Just one more time, I swear to Christ.
Watch your language, Chick. I bring you on this show.
I apologize.
Give her laughter.
Give her sunshine.
Can you start all over again?
Chick, you've got to know the song.
I know, just please start it all over again. Just start it all over again. One, two, three, and two, three.
One, two, three. Give her laughter. Oh.
Give her laughter. Hey, how many times?
Just one more.
How many times are we going to do this? Okay, man, you got to know your music, all right? You got to know your music.
You have to know the song, chick.
I know the song. I'm sorry. I sneezed a couple of times. I've got the allergy going on. Let me just do it.
Yeah, just started the song.
Yeah, I know. I can hear it. The guy I'm talking to on the radio, he says, I just started the song. Well, I can hear the...
Hey, chick, you with us?
Oh, I'm sorry. Start it again.
This is the last time that we start this song again. Do you understand me? Do you understand me?
Yeah, I understand, Mr. Henry. I'm just... All I'm trying to tell you is I've had a very, very difficult time in trying to coordinate this music because I didn't know... I guess what you might say is I didn't know exactly how it started and where it was going to end. And I'm sure you understand. So what I was simply trying to do...
No, I get everything that you're telling me is fine. It's all good. I just, you know, this is the last time. We're not going to do this again.
Hey, you met someone. Set your back on your heels.
Get out of here, will you? All of you guys.
Look, Mr. Henry,
go on, bug off.
Well, I don't understand what happened.
I can tell you what happened. That guy, Guy Lavender, or Chick Lavender, whatever his name is, he's a metal midget. That's what happened.
All right, thanks very much there, Chick. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We have Bobby Dooley to talk with us here about, she's got her own problems there at Western Estates Homeowners Association. She's going to be talking with us about a friend of hers. One of her, I guess you might say it's one of her co-homeowners, Dan Sandermount. His garage and an adjoining shed burned to the ground because he was transfixed by Nancy Grace. It's coming up, Phil Henry Show.
Yes, this is the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Reminding you, a backstage pass is all you need during this, the month of customer appreciation, rapidly coming to a close. Everyone with a backstage pass, new and old, gets 3 Best of Radio CD downloads. Get yourself that BSP now, or get out of my face.
All right, welcome back to the program here. Bobby Dooley joining us along with Steve Dooley, and they join us from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, where there has been, you had a little bit of a problem, Bobby. I don't know whether or not you want to call it a tragedy. I know that what the big tragedy is that a man lost part of his home, and that's never a funny thing. It certainly isn't anything that... It certainly isn't anything that people celebrate, but this is part and parcel of a larger issue, right?
Yes, Phil, it really is, and the issue has to do with Nancy Grace, and my husband Steve is here because he has been watching this with me, and what has been recently some commentary made by her about the use of marijuana. It's really sort of ill-considered, quite old school, almost old lady-ish, for Nancy Grace to begin to discuss and to worry about what marijuana is going to do to people. She's saying that it causes parents to neglect their children. It causes people not to bathe. That may well be. I'm not here to argue that. You know, when I first met my husband, Steve, and Margaret, you know the story. He was a junkie.
Yes, I do know that. He was doing, what was he, crushing Darvon up in a spoon?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was doing.
Yes, and it's nothing anyone's proud of, but he did work his way out of that. But something much, much more serious, I think, needs to be considered. A week ago, as he was watching a Nancy Grace broadcast, Dan Sandermont, who lives over on Elvin Hill, which is a part of the Bougainvillea phase, was watching this television program featuring Nancy Grace while his garage, then an adjoining shed, and part of a split rail fence burned to the ground. Now, his home could have been burned to the ground.
Good Lord.
Yes. And when we did finally pull Dan from the house, he was getting a little bit of a smoke inhalation.
Now, wait. The house did not burn.
No, the house did not burn, no.
So the smoke was coming from the shed?
Yes, the smoke was coming from an adjoining shed. And I was absolutely stunned. Steve, I know you...
I went over to see if he's okay and everything. Man, it freaked me out, you know.
So I said to Dan, what was going on? And we slapped him around and gave him some water. Paramedics did respond to the scene, but I made the decision that he did not need any medical assistance.
Now, what do you mean you made the decision?
I'm sorry?
What do you mean you made the decision?
I made the decision. He's a homeowner. He's one of my homeowners.
Well, that doesn't mean you get to make the decision.
Well, yes, it does, because how do you like that?
What do you mean it doesn't make that? That's what she did.
That's what I did.
So you decided for this man that he didn't need any medical assistance.
That's exactly right. I didn't like the idea of ambulances screaming into the area, scaring everyone, causing dogs to bark, cats to bark, and dogs...
What do you mean cats barking?
I said cats to bark.
All right, what do you mean by that?
I misspoke. I meant dogs to bark and cats to howl, or whatever they do.
What do you talk about, a cat? You're talking...
I mean dogs barking, cats meowing. But the point is, all right?
I let my wife say it.
I want to let her say it, but the stuff she's saying ain't making no sense.
That makes more sense than you do, you know.
Well, all right, are you guys done?
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, I make more sense than I do.
Hey, man, you want to talk about it?
Will you guys shut up? Go on, Bobby.
But don't tell my husband to shut up, Phil.
I'm sorry, Mr. Dooley. Would you mind being quiet for a moment? You too, bud.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, I said I don't like ambulances screaming through the area. I'll make the unilateral decision for Dan, and I did. So we were talking to Dan, and we were fanning him and giving him something cool to drink. If he needed oxygen, then we gave him oxygen. I don't know what there's air everywhere, you know.
Yeah, but Bobby, oxygen is very concentrated. It is it's pure oxygen. It's not just the air, which contains a lot of other gases. That's what they wanted to give him because they thought he was suffering from smoke inhalation.
No, they didn't think that. They wanted to check and see if that's what the case was. And I wouldn't let them do that. Why are we getting lost in this?
Look, my Henry already said what he was going to say, Bobby.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, Bobby said what she was going to say, Henry.
Yeah, don't call me Henry either.
All right, I apologize. I mean, Phil. Phil already said what Bobby was...
Bobby said what she was going to say, Phil.
Right.
Well, no, she didn't.
No, I didn't yet, Steve.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, I said, Dan, what happened? He said, I was watching Nancy Grace... And she was going on and on about some kind of a murder mystery or some sort of a story. And I said, yeah. And he said, I became transfixed by the size of her head, which seemed to fill the screen. And I said, yeah. And,
well, are you telling me you sat there going, yeah, through the whole thing?
No, Margaret, I didn't go, yeah. I said, uh-huh.
Well, no, that's not what you're going, yeah.
Okay, ladies, please.
I'm just trying to point this out.
No, I don't need any of that pointed out to me, all right? I know what I said and what I did. So I said to him, are you okay? And he said, I don't know, because I was looking at Nancy Grace. Her head filled the screen, and the way the head looked, it was big, blonde, the big eyes... And there was nothing. There was no other image on the screen other than face, hair, and just the whole Nancy Grace head. And I said, what has that got to do with the price of bread in the Central Market or whatever I said, the price of tea in Hong Kong or something? And
well, the price of tea in Denmark.
The price of tea in China.
Oh, yeah.
And he said nothing other than the fact that I couldn't move, and I knew that suddenly I heard... what sounded like the crackling and the popping of wood burning. And I knew that I had left a wood burner on in the garage because he said that he was burning his initials into a wooden plaque that he wanted to hang on his front door. DS, okay?
Yeah.
So, but he left it on because he was drawn to the living room and the Nancy Grace show. Excuse me, I'm belching.
You want to add one?
Give me some soda water.
So this man was drawn to watch Nancy Grace while he left some kind of a wood burner on that set fire to his garage.
Yes, yes. And I said to him, "Were you able? You weren't able to move." He said, "No, I was not able to move."
I said, so this was almost like a drug effect. And he said, yes, it was. So I got immediately onto the email. I emailed the Nancy Grace Show, and I said, you can say what you want about marijuana. You can say what you want about the paralyzing effects of drugs. But I have a neighbor here. I have a man who lives in my gated community. And this man was paralyzed looking at your big fat face as his garage, the adjoining shed where he keeps not only tools, but pigeon coops, which he's not... Thank God there were no pigeons in there.
So no animals were hurt?
No. I was absolutely stunned by this.
All right. So what's the point here, that Nancy Grace needs to take herself off of TV?
Well, that, you know, that goes without saying.
I wouldn't say that, Phil.
I think Nancy Grace, the sooner that broad gets off of television, the better.
Yeah, that's probably pretty good, General.
Let me tell you something. I've listened to that Grace, and I've watched that Grace for a lot of years. All she does is sit there with that hillbilly twang of hers, talking about how this, that, and some shit. You know, I the people like that make me sick.
No, I don't know, General. You gotta have a way, way more of a case than that.
Well, I have the case. I've got the case of a neighbor of mine, Dan Sandermont, who almost burned alive. Okay?
Well, dear, I don't think that's the case at all. I think what possibly happened was he might have been tired, he might have been affected by something else. You can't necessarily prove that was Nancy Grace.
I beg your pardon?
Miss Grace, that guy said he was all transfixed by how big the head was. Everything like that.
All right, so what did you say to Nancy Grace?
Well, I said that I personally hold her civilly responsible. I said the fact that her big kisser is there in the television screen, filling the entire screen the way it did, I said that there is just absolutely no other reason for Dan Sandermont to... become transfixed that way, you know.
Well, I'm talking about a guy getting transfixed, you know, on what's on TV. I mean, people can make that case about any kind of show, you know. You can make that case about anything.
Well, that may very well be the truth, and maybe we need to get off of this whole marijuana or pot causes these things. I'm a mother, and I don't agree with the use of drugs at all, Phil. But I also don't agree with pointing the finger in the wrong direction when the finger should be pointed in the right direction. And in this case, I think it was quite simply Nancy Grace and that big bubble face of hers.
Well, you know, I think she's making a very good point. I wouldn't put it past Grace to fill the screen with that big bubble kisser of hers. I've seen it. You don't think it happens. I've seen it. It's happened to me.
Well, I mean, it's happened to you.
So you're saying you've suffered from this phenomenon?
I'm telling you now, I found myself sitting there staring at Grace. Well, she does that whole, you know, she does that thing. Well, let me tell you something, friend.
Yeah, that's what she goes, friend. Hey, friend. Hey, friend. And you sit there and you stare at it. Almost like you got a friend. Like, you know, if you don't have no friends. I mean, I have friends and everything.
Yeah, you wish.
Hey, I got friends, but a guy like Robert doesn't have no friends.
I got friends, man.
All right, wait a minute. You're saying just any lonely guy, huh?
Yeah, any lonesome slob will sit there and think Nancy Grace is staring at him and wants him to be her... You're a lover man, you know.
Shit.
Oh, please.
Well, I don't doubt it. I really don't. And so that's why we got on the email and we wrote to her and we said, Ms. Grace.
Yeah, we just said it, Ms. Grace, you know. That's the wrong thing to do.
Now, the reason why we brought all of this up is because Steve had the ding-dong ditch. He told you about that, right?
Yeah, well, I got an email. This was a couple of the emails that you guys sent us to Steve. In fact, you tweeted it, Steve, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I tweeted out that their ding-dong kid ding-dong ditched me. General Shaw, the experience you had where you ran the kid down?
Yeah, well, the kid that did the ding-dong ditch on me, we're very familiar with this kid. He's some red-headed punk. His name's Blowy Wilson. And everyone in the neighborhood is very familiar with his bullcrap antics.
All right, well, this was something that happened right as we smelled the smoke... And could smell it burning, and we smelled Dan Sandermount's whole shed, the garage was going up. And I said to Bobby, I said, it's going up now. And Bobby stuck her head out the window. She was drying her hair because we were going out to the movies.
Yes, that's right, Steve. I was drying my hair. I had an electrical dryer in my hand. And with all of the fire and the ding-dong ditch, I could have been electrocuted.
I don't understand. How was that possible?
I don't know. It was just there was so much confusion.
Yeah, a lot of confusion. You could be electrocuted.
What do you mean electrocuted? You're not going to get electrocuted because somebody's playing ding-dong ditch.
I'm saying the confusion alone would have caused me to become frightened.
And what, step into a bathtub with that thing? Jesus H.
You know, General, I think that you're very, very crude.
No, I'm trying to make sense out of this.
All right, all right. So, Bobby, so you smell smoke.
Yeah, I smelled smoke. I knew that it was Sandermount's, his house was going, or the garage was going up, and also the shed. And I said, God damn. So that's, I said to Bobby, it's going up. I say again, it's going up. And then I went down to the community center. We have a big loudspeaker there, and we do have the siren, but it was broken. So I had to do a facsimile siren. So I got on the microphone, I went, and I had to do that over and over and over again.
Are you telling me that you got on a microphone and made the sounds of a siren?
Yes, ma'am, I did.
Well, what else is he supposed to do, Margaret?
Well, that sounds ridiculous, so you're wasting time doing that.
No, this alerts the community. Steve, go ahead and do it. What were you doing?
Well, it's just... And then that's when Jack Willem came by and he said, I know it's you, Dooley. That doesn't sound like a siren. That's you, right? And I go, yes, it is. Because I was on the microphone, right?
Yeah.
And so, what's wrong?
You know what? I the world that you people live in, you got
that right.
I beg your pardon.
Just continue. So you're on the microphone.
I'm on the microphone. And I'm going, do it, fire, at the Dan Sandermount residence. And I'm trying to resonate and do it like an announcer, because I read someplace in an announcer book, if you make it sound dulcet and announcery, people will take it more seriously. So I went, fire, at the, you know, Dan Sandermount's house.
I think Steve sounds really sexy when he does that.
That's just wonderful. What a comfort that is to know that your husband sounds sexy as a man's home?
Oh, God, talk much?
As a man's home burns to the ground.
Well, guess what? It wasn't his home. For the 9 millionth time, it was his fucking garage.
Now, come on.
Ladies.
Well, I'm so tired of this.
The language on you.
Oh, I've heard you do worse.
Anyway, I was going, fire. And that's when Willem comes by. He goes, hey, Dooley. And I go, and I'm still on the microphone. I go, yeah, it's Steve Dooley. He goes, well, Dooley, I know it's you, because you don't sound like a siren, man. You sound like a guy doing a siren. And I go, but I was still on the microphone. I go, yeah, so what? Just shut up. I said, don't pay attention to me. Go. And he's going, it's Dooley, right? So
this is very difficult for him.
So anyway, I kept doing.
Are you bawling because some guy made fun of you while another man's home burns to the ground? God almighty!
Another man's home was not burning. It was a garage and a shed.
All right, but this guy's crying because some guy walked by and said, hey, Dooley, you don't sound like a siren.
Well, I was trying to do... There was a fire.
Understand there was a fire going on.
I know there was a fire... General, never mind, okay? So you were doing the siren sound effect.
Yeah, I was going, fire. Anyway, everybody in the neighborhood came out on the street, and we all went down to Sandermount's house and turned on the hoses. The fire trucks had arrived.
Well, a lot of the fire trucks arrived, and we said, you know something, we don't need you. We are Western States. And that's when I led the chant.
Yeah, Bobby led a chant to keep the fire trucks out.
Why are you keeping fire trucks out, and why are you keeping paramedics out?
Because we didn't need them, Phil. The fire was out. And as the fire was out, because we did it all with garden hoses, too.
I think that's very dangerous. It could have gotten out of control.
Yeah, we're going to do that.
It didn't get out of control, huh? And that's what we did do then. And that's when I led everyone in the neighborhood in the cheer. We are Western States. We are Western States.
Yeah, well, it's Bobby and I. We go, we are. And then everybody goes, Western States. And it'll sound a little bit more faded away.
Yeah, Steve and I will say, we are. And then you'll hear, Western States. We are Western State, because we're supposed to be a lot louder.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, that's great. I better file that one away into chicken shit in case I need to know something like that.
You know, General, for a man who's fought for our country, I wish I could say the following words. A man that fought and died for our country. Goodbye.
Oh, my God.
Well,
Ms. Gray, you went, oh, my God.
I know what I did.
I mean... You guys are giving him all kinds of shit.
What do you mean, we're giving him all kinds? This guy doesn't mean makes about as much sense as this guy does, Dickman. Hey, we are Western States. And then that whole bit about how he sounded like a siren, but when the other guy said he didn't, the guy starts to cry?
Yeah, Mr. M, you gotta admit,
Oh, no, there's nothing about Steve Dooley that I don't admit. I mean, I understand him and Bobby, both. They're both, you know, they're both a real piece of work. You know, together, they are one piece of work. Separately, they're a piece of work. But,
well, that doesn't make any sense.
Yes, it does. Just trust me. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Separately, they're a piece of work. But what are you going to do? Are you going to change them? No.
Yeah, Mr. Henry's right. I mean, you're not going to change anybody about it.
Bud, you don't know what you're talking about.
No, wait. Hold on for a minute, Margaret. I got the floor on this one, okay? I said to hold on for a minute, lady. Now, you always button in and tell me how to do it. I'll tell you what to do. These two people, the Dooleys, are a couple. Yeah, man, they're a piece of work, you know?
Yeah, we know.
Well.
All right, is that it?
Well, I had a couple of other.
All right, thank you very much. All's well that ends well there with the Dooleys. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with more of the program right after another word from, General. You'll be talking about Bud Dickman, Bud Dickman channel on YouTube.
What, do you talk much? Yeah, the Bud Dickman channel on YouTube, man, that's the place to go to look at all the latest video clips, film clips, some of those Periscope clips, too, from the world-famous Phil Henry Show, Howard and Lydia, Phil, all those weird asses. Check out the latest video clips from the Phil Henry Show at the Real Bud Dickman channel on YouTube. Drop it down, get low. Drop it down, get low. Oh, drop it down, get low. I blew 10, I blew 20. It's nothing to me. I get money. I eat, sleep, and I shit.
All right, I wanted to thank a couple people here. Now, who am I thanking here?
Well, I know you. Henry Rollins sent you the Gay and Wilson.
Yes, Gay and Wilson. Oh, man.
Me, Gay and Wilson.
Shut up, bud. Don't you make fun of Gay and Wilson. That guy is one of the greats.
I didn't do anything, man.
Yeah, you did. You opened your mouth. We got a documentary in the mail not too long ago from Henry Rollins, who had mentioned to me, because we'd talked about on the show Gay and Wilson, although at that time I called him Gahan Wilson.
Oh, this is the guy, the cartoon guy, right?
Yes. Gay and Wilson is I think he was really a forerunner of Gary Larson. And what do I mean by Gary Larson and Gay and Wilson? We're talking about some really sophisticated, I think, super sophisticated, surreal kind of cartooning where you're using tons and tons of irony and lots of uses in the case of Gay and Wilson, monsters and gargoyles, and in the case of Gary Larson, animals, bears that talk and insects that talk, but not just insects that talk. In the case of Gary Larson, they're insects that talk and live in suburban homes and drive cars, you know.
Yeah, sorry, Gary Larson calendar one time.
Yeah, right there. That guy Larson, he's a real weird ass. He's got a calendar, doesn't he?
Well, yes. Don't call him a weird ass. Gary Larson is a trend-setting cartoonist.
Yes, as Gay and Wilson is. And again, Gay and Wilson, who was in Playboy, may still be in Playboy, and The New Yorker, uses a lot of monsters, you know, Frankenstein-type creatures, vampires, but all of the humor is very, very wry and subtle and just hysterically funny. And I mentioned during the pre-show my favorite Gay and Wilson comic or drawing is of a man standing behind this wall, holding onto bars, looking out through the bars at an old lady who's sort of staring at him perplexed, as if she's looking at a plaque or some kind of an inscription underneath where this man is. And he is saying to her, "Lady, I swear to God, I'm not part of the exhibit."
So that's the kind of, it's like dark humor.
Yes, yeah. But I think dark humor is doesn't even begin to describe it. So this documentary was so cool because it was him. He was narrating all of it. It's what they call, I believe it was a kind of a...
Well, cinema or video verite, okay, that is when...
Ah, Margie, I don't think you're all special.
No, I don't think I'm special. I just know how to read and use words. Cinema or video verite is when the subjects themselves tell the story. You don't have a narrator. Would you say that that's accurate?
I would say that that's accurate, yeah. I do not recall anybody narrating. But he talked about his influences. He talked about looking at architecture, being influenced by architecture, being influenced by all of the monsters as he grew up on you know, television, or in the movies, I should say, Bride of Frankenstein, that kind of stuff. And And I can't remember half of it. There's a whole section of it where it's just him being interviewed as he sits there and he talks about Stan Lee and he talks about all the other guys that, you know, Stan Lee was saying about Gann Wilson, what it takes me 3 or 4 pages to do, he can do in one, obviously in one frame, you know. So anyway, I would recommend that you guys get this. It's called Born Dead, Still Weird. And the reason why it's called Born Dead is because he was born unconscious. His mother was being given some kind of a relaxant as he was being born, and she passed out. And as the result of her passing out, he passed out, so that when he was born, he was blue. And
oh my, that could mean death.
Was he like dead, or is he just passed out?
He was just passed out. But the thing of it is the doctor, the story he tells is he is born and he's blue, and these doctors that were delivering him were about ready to pronounce him DOA. I mean, they were going to be more concerned with saving the life of the mother. They were going to cut the umbilical, and they were going to just kind of put this kid aside, and they were going to save the mother. That's, I guess, what they did in those days, right? Well, it just so happened that the family doctor was standing there just outside the delivery room. He came rushing in. He grabbed this baby, Gann Wilson, the man who would grow to become this marvelous, marvelous cartoonist who brought... I remember saying yesterday on Twitter, I said, when I saw Gann Wilson's cartoons, I knew I wasn't alone. There was another weirdo in this world.
Yeah, well, now you know there's more than just one, you know.
Look at me!
You better believe I'm looking at you.
All right, hold on. So, so this cat comes into the room.
What do you mean, the cat? The doctor?
Yeah, the family doctor, sorry. He comes and he grabs this baby. He turns on a hot water faucet, turns on a cold water faucet, and he begins to alternately move the baby between hot water and cold water, splashing this water on this child's face, on the throat, you know, and rousing the child. And the next thing you know, the baby is beginning to breathe, gasp for air, and starts to breathe again. And this doctor saved his life as an infant, and he went on to, you know, to have a life. So that was like just it's tremendous documentary, and I recommend that you get a hold of it. Born Dead.
So it's called Born Dead, Still Weird, huh?
Yep, Born Dead, Still Weird. And I don't know how old he is. He's got to be much older than me. I think he's in his late 70s, maybe. He's married.
Yes, but now the couple, Gann Wilson, he and his wife, they don't live in the same city?
Well, their studios are in different cities. That's not to say they don't live in the same city, but they work in different cities. She's moved her studio to London. His is in New York. But as she said in the interview, she said, we have been together. I was with Gann 24/7, 7 days a week for 30 years. And they've been married some 40 years now. She said, I thought it was time that I gave him a break. She said, and I moved my studio, because she's an artist as well. And I don't know what kind of art. I think she may be a sculptress or something like that. She said, I moved my studio over to... I moved my studio over to London. And so that's... That is the end all and the be all, the beginning, the end, and all of it in between.
Now, what this guy is, Gann Wilson.
Yeah, does he ever, okay, I'm not going to make fun of his name. Does he ever have a hard time, do his people have a hard time hiring him?
Yeah, does he have a hard time getting hired?
What do you mean, does he have a hard time?
Oh, now I'll handle this, General. Why?
Because the name's Gann?
Well, I mean...
You know, bud, somebody ought to just belt you every day really hard as a matter of course, whether you do anything right or wrong. Just, oh, are you Bud Dickman? Yeah. Well, just stand there for a minute. Pow! You know, there, that's your belt of the day, okay?
No, just because I asked if a guy's name is Gay.
Yeah, that seems sensible to me, Miss Henry.
Somebody ought to belt you, too. What do you mean, sensible?
About the guy?
No, the guy, just because his name's Gann Wilson, doesn't mean the guy deserves to get clocked every...
I didn't deserve to get clocked.
You think this guy's going to have a hard time getting hired?
All right, bud, thank you very much. I knew the minute that I heard the guy's name, that's what it was going to be. That's what it was going to be. It was going to be somebody saying something about Gay.
Well, now, it is spelled how?
It's spelled G-A-H-A-N. I recommend that no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what you do, and no matter where you go, and no matter where you go with it, that you familiarize yourself with Gann Wilson and his marvelous... Fantastico groovy-ass, grooviosity kind of a, you know, art. We're going to be right back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Rudy Canosa going to check in with us for just a few seconds, find out what's happening there at Ted's in Beverly Hills. Find out what's happening with Rudy. Here's ASAP Rocky every day. Be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I am.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show here. We'll be right back from the El Pacifico in Southern California. I'm Margaret Gray.
Hey, everybody. Hey, have you got a backstage pass or do you not, man? You missing out. This has been Customer Appreciation Month, but just because Customer Appreciation Month is coming to an end doesn't mean you can't get a backstage pass. You can do that.
Yeah, all you got to do is go to a website and get an all-access pass or just get audio only. We don't care. Whichever you can afford. If you can't afford it, you can afford it. There's one that you can't afford. We make it affordable.
Yeah, make it affordable on the Phil Henry Show website. Get a backstage pass.
Be a part of the BSP family today.
And only God could judge me. And he don't like no ugly. I look so fucking good, most likes a fucking buddy.
All right, man. Thanks so much, ASAP there, Rocky. Rudy Canosa on the line with us here. Rudy is our close personal friend. Rudy, as you know, is a guy that has, you know, I would say that Rudy is a cat that does a lot of different things. And I think that accurate. He does a lot of things. He is an import-export businessman. He works the bar at Ted's of Beverly Hills. Right now he's doing a little working out before he goes in for the evening shift. Rudy, how you been, buddy?
I feel I'm doing good. Thank you.
Now, I wanted to get you on the phone to catch up with you. You are heading back to Argentina?
I am going to head back to Argentina. I have pressing business to go back to Argentina. Some of my father's estate has not yet been dealt with.
I'm sorry, Rudy. Your father passed on.
Oh, yes. My father has been passed on for a couple of 3 years. But there's part of his estate that is still in probate, as you say. And I have to go back down there to find out what the problem is and to get things moving there. We have some of the furniture in the home that needs to be moved on.
What about your mother?
My mother has been gone these many years now, 10 years or so. So it is simply a matter of me going there and making sure that everything gets distributed properly. Then I will return to the United States.
Now, where are you living permanently these days? Are you in Argentina or in the United States?
For the most part now, I live in America. I live in Los Angeles. You know, I have my Chitem lingerie. I also work part-time at Beverly Hills.
Let me ask something, Rudy. Why are you working as a bartender when you got the successful business and you do the import-import?
Well, you see, that's what I mean. That's what Phil was trying to refer to, General. I like to keep my hand in, you know. I love people. I love to talk to people, and I love to meet people. And I love to do all kinds of different things. No matter what it is, and that's why Rudy is always on the move. Rudy is always one step ahead. Rudy always has a hand in. Rudy has always got his nose in. Rudy is always, as I say, Rudy is all things to all people. I'm all places at one time. You know, it's almost, I would never, ever call myself godlike, but they say that God is omniscient, he is omnipotent, he's everywhere. I'm not like that, but pretty close, you know. And
well, all right, so when you say that you do all of that, do you ever get tired?
I was going to say, when do you relax?
I relax at all times. I am relaxed at all times. I can relax even on the job. I can relax while I'm serving a drink. I can relax while I'm in the gym right now. And I'm lifting weights, and I'm doing some, just doing some chest work. I'm doing some leg work.
I was wondering, all you guys go to the same gym? Because it sounds to me like, are you at Gold's Gym?
Yes, I am, as a matter of fact, in Santa Monica.
Yes, because it sounds like the same gym that Steve Dooley uses, and the same gym that I think Ted Bell uses.
Well, I'm using Ted's membership right now here. But I'm relaxing right now, and I'm about to do the leg machine, because I like the way, I like to get the good big thigh, the big calf. And as has so often been the case, you know, I know that Ted got into a problem here not too long ago when he was using these weight machines, and some of the young ladies here, some of the young girls thought that he was hitting on them, you know. So I can see somebody's...
Well, for God's sake, don't you get into that kind of trouble.
Yeah, don't be sitting there trying to impress all the underage women.
No, not at all, not at all. But it's difficult, Phil, not to. Now I'm looking at a lady right now. How are you? Hi. This is an elderly woman. And I know these ladies, they come into it and say, hello, how are you, Mrs. James? How are you? Yes. Yes. Uh-huh.
Jesus Christ, these are the women you do that tongue wag to?
General, I've told you. Okay.
These ladies know you from the restaurant.
Yes, they know me from the restaurant. That's why they expect me to. This is, General, this is an act of respect.
That tongue wag, you can't... There's no way on God's good green earth you'll ever convince me that that's a thing of respect. You do that to my wife. Buddy, we've got business.
General, I don't think you want to... I don't think you want to have business with me because I'm in the weight machines right now, okay? And I can assure you, whether it's me going, a-la-la-la-la... Or it's me going, yeah, you know?
Buddy, you can lift all the weights you want, and you can go all you want. You stick that tongue out at me, and I'll have a tongue in my pocket with my keys attached to it. Oh!
Yeah, yeah!
Hey, General, that's pretty harsh.
Okay, all right, okay. So you're at the gym there, and you're working out, and you'll be going back into work tonight, and we just wanted to make sure that you're not overworking yourself.
No, no, not at all. But I do see some of the... How you doing? Mrs. Glenn. Yes. See, they like that. If I don't do it, they get angry. They talk to Ted.
If you don't do it, they get angry.
Yes, yes. They'll go, why didn't Rudy give me the tongue? Hey, hello, Mrs. Greenman. How are you? Very good. So,
boy, oh boy, I can't imagine any woman finding that sexy.
What?
You sound like you sound like the village idiot sitting there going,
I guess you don't know how to talk to a woman, General. You know,
I know how to talk to a woman, and part of it doesn't involve going, God almighty, you sound like somebody sitting behind a garbage can scaring all the little kids.
Hey, you know what, General? For you to say something like that, oh, Mrs. Graham, how are you doing? Nice to see you.
Are you kidding me? What kind of a mental midget woman is going to find that kind of thing exciting?
I'm telling you, Miss Gray. Are you telling me you didn't? You're saying you didn't?
Not even a little bit.
Oh, my God. There must be something wrong with you. Because
why is there something wrong with her? I don't think there's anybody on this planet other than that old lady you did it to that thinks that's sexy.
The old lady? All right, she is 70, but, hold on. Jane Fonda's 72. Would you call her an old lady?
Yes.
Shit. Hey, Mrs. Grimmer, come over here. Is this sexy or isn't it? Ow! Shit, she kicked me. I guess I blew it.
Blew it is the shorthand. I don't know what you did, but obviously she didn't find it interesting.
Mrs. Grimmer, what did I do wrong? Every time you come by, I go... God. Oh. I must be losing my touch.
Yeah, there you go, pal. You're losing your touch. You're losing your touch.
Yeah, Barry, gotta go back and practice.
Let me ask you something, Margaret. Is this sexy?
No, it is not sexy. You sound like a ghoul. You sound like a ghoul that didn't get out of kindergarten.
So I sound like a ghoul that's also dumb.
Yes.
All right, well, ghouls... All right,
look, let's not figure out whether ghouls are dumb or not.
Rudy, thank you very, very much.
Wait a minute, wait. I'm sorry to ask you. Are you saying that if a ghoul sounds like an idiot, he sounds like this?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Fuck.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One.